John 10. So John 10, verse 11 to 21. 1076. So 1076. John 10, verse 11 to 21. So John 10. Verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Let me pray as we look at that passage. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we get to hear your voice, that you reveal your Son to us. We ask that this morning you would open our eyes to see that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. That we would willingly come under his good and gracious care. Amen. It's really lovely to be with you. I've been praying for you, so it's great to actually meet you all and spend some time with you. And one of the great joys of looking at the Bible together is we get to hear what Jesus was actually saying. You know, like, obviously we kind of look at that, don't we? But that's an amazing thing, isn't it? We hear Jesus' words from 2,000 years ago. And this passage is particularly special because we get to hear his words about himself. We get to hear him say, "I am the good shepherd." And there's a couple of things I want us to point out. Obviously, he's talking about the good shepherd. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. So this is Jesus looking after us, his people. And there's two words I want us to think of as we're running through. First, they're pretty obvious. First is, he is the good shepherd. He didn't actually need to say that, did he? He could have just said, "I am the shepherd." But he deliberately wants us to look out and say, "No, I am the good shepherd." That word can mean beautiful, captivating, noble. So Jesus is saying, I want you to look at me and say, "Wow." Say there's something about the care and the provision that Jesus gives that makes you go, "That's beautiful." Jesus' care is a beautiful thing. But he also says he is the good shepherd. He says he is the good shepherd. That he's saying this is not, he's not just saying, "I am a good shepherd. You could follow this person or this person. You could be under this person's care." He's saying, "No, I am the good shepherd." To be under his care is the only place to have his sort of care, his sort of provision. We want to be put in his sheep pen, if you like, and go, "I don't want to be anywhere else. This is the good shepherd." As we run through, we're going to look through that. We'll keep going back to he is the good shepherd and he is the good shepherd. But the first point, I mean, it's pretty obvious. I hope you've picked up on it, is he is the good shepherd who lays down his life. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life. Loads of times he mentions it. Look at verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life." It's in verse 15, verse 17, verse 18. And again, notice very little word makes a big difference. He lays down his life for the sheep. He dies so the sheep can live. He lays down his life so the sheep can be free. Now, I get the privilege of looking at this text like day in, day out for a week. And one of the things that really surprised me as I was looking at it was, you know, I'm sure lots of you are Christians. You go, yes, of course, Jesus dies for the sheep. I know that. And then it took me till about Wednesday to go, hang on, shepherds don't normally die for their sheep. What shepherd do you ever know who's gone, oh yeah, I heard a story the other day of a shepherd dying for their sheep. That doesn't happen, does it? Shepherds don't die for their sheep. They don't willingly lay down their lives. But here we see a shepherd that does. And I want us to try and jump into the metaphor. I'm going to stick in the metaphor quite strongly for us to understand how shocking this is. Just picture a group of sheep, and they're under attack. What does it say in the passage? It says there's a wolf coming. You've got these sheep over here, and here comes a wolf. They see the sheep, and what do they start thinking? Well, they start thinking, lamb. Their teeth come out, their back is haunched, they're prowling, ready to pounce on these poor sheep. And what happens if you've got a wolf coming up against sheep? Well, we have some vet students in our church, and I asked them, wolves tend to beat sheep in a battle. No sheep has ever defeated a wolf. A wolf is coming and they're vulnerable, then they're nervous. There's no chance for them. This wolf is on their way. And what do we see here? We see the shepherd stands between them. He says, no. They're protected. They're mine. And as this wolf comes in, maybe you might picture a good shepherd who stands between and whacks them away with a stick. Maybe, I don't know, like a bear, is this true? You know, some people say with a bear, you make yourself big and make a loud noise. Maybe a good shepherd would make a loud noise and shout, get away! Maybe a good shepherd would do that. But this shepherd, when push comes to shove, when it's either the shepherd's life or the sheep's life, he goes, take my life. Let the sheep live. What shepherd does that? Imagine the sheep looking on. put yourself, this is a thing I won't ask you to do often. Imagine you're a sheep. And you see your shepherd going, I'll die so you can live. Doesn't happen. Or picture it. Imagine I give you 100 sheep today. Each of you I give, you've got 100 sheep, 100 sheep, 100 sheep. A wolf comes. What would you do? You'd run away, right? I would. I wouldn't go, well, they're just sheep. They're just sheep. My life is worth way more than sheep. And yet, here we see this picture of a good shepherd who goes, no, I'll die so they can live. I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? In verse 13, the man, the hired hand, runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Who does the hired hand care? He cares more for his life than he does for the sheep's life. And isn't that what normal shepherds would do? See, this is amazing. The sheep look on and they go, there is no shepherd that's ever done this before. And then, but it's even more than that. It's not just that he lays down his life. It's voluntary. Look at verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. You see, you might picture the shepherd going, I'm going to fight against this wolf. And eventually, after a tussle, the wolf overpowers the shepherd, and unfortunately, he dies, but the sheep get away. That's not what's happening here. He voluntarily lays down his life. He stands there and says, take my life so the sheep can go free. Imagine another shepherd watching on. What's he doing? Imagine another shepherd going, how on earth? Look how much this shepherd loves these sheep. He's willing to die for them. And then, I mean, this is where, bear with me, okay? I'm going to stretch this metaphor like to breaking point, but I think it's helpful. but now, picture it, verse 18, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. So imagine the sheep. They've been set free. They're off into the field. They're having a party because they've been saved by that shepherd. And they're all going, oh, what a wonderful shepherd we have. He saved me. This is great. And they're off in the field. They're having a great time. And then what happens a week later when one of them gets a bad leg? They start going, oh, well, I need a shepherd. They start getting hungry. They go, oh, well, actually, I'm hungry. I need feeding from this shepherd. And then, okay, stretching the metaphor, then they see the dead shepherd come back to life, ready to bind their wounds, ready to look after them again. And they'd be looking on at the shepherd going, wow, this shepherd, he cares for me even beyond death. Even death can't stop him feeding me, caring for me, looking after me. Now, imagine you're a sheep again. Aren't they going to say, that is a good shepherd? That shepherd makes me go, wow. He loves me enough to lay down his life for me. You just go, what a good shepherd. And aren't you going to say he is the good shepherd? You know, I imagine sheep are a bit like us. The grass is always greener. They might look out and go, oh, maybe this shepherd, maybe this shepherd. Aren't they going to read this and go, there is no other shepherd I want to be under. There is nowhere else I'd rather go than under the care of this good shepherd. And as we think about Jesus, he is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. And if we're shocked at all, if we're even a little bit shocked by going, here's a shepherd dying for his sheep. Here's a human shepherd dying for messy, smelly, insignificant sheep. There's loads of them. If that shocks us even a little bit, should we not be absolutely shocked by Jesus, the Son of God, eternal, mighty, powerful, holy, pure, willing to die for us? Messy, sinful, weak, full of shame, one of so many, so small, and yet Jesus dies for us. I think this whole metaphor of a sheep, a shepherd laying down his life for the sheep, is meant to go, wow, yeah. Because after years of being Christians, sometimes you just have Jesus dies for me. It's amazing that he would do that. Romans 5 says, this is verse 6. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As we look at Jesus, shouldn't we go, he is the good shepherd? We look on and go, wow, he would do that for me. And we would say he is the good shepherd, because he's the only one that can. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep, but Jesus is also the good shepherd who knows his sheep. He lays down his life and he knows his sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep. This is a shepherd who knows his sheep. He knows what they need. Now, if sheep are anything like babies, you don't always know what they need, do you? When my children were little, you're there going, they're crying. Do they need feeding? Do they need burping? Do they need their nappy changing? I don't know. And maybe that says more about my parenting, but I think that's, you have a baby, you're going, well, I don't know what to do with this baby. It's crying, they're upset. I suspect it's similar for sheep. You have sheep, okay, well, I don't know what's wrong with them. But this shepherd knows what they need. He knows his sheep. He knows that if they're wounded, he knows how to bind them. He knows if they're prone to wander, he knows where to go and find them. He knows that if they're scared, the sheep are scared and they're hiding under a bush, he knows to go and comfort them. He knows when they're hungry what they need, what food they need. And he knows them as individuals. You see, I look at sheep and I basically see that they just look all the same. Basically, a cloud with legs. But this shepherd knows them. He knows them intimately. He knows what they're like. He knows their names. That sheep's Barbara. That sheep's Sean. So Jesus knows his sheep. This shepherd knows his sheep. But almost even more shockingly, look at how verse 14 carries on into 15. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now let me jump back into the metaphor again, stretching, okay? Hear what he's saying here. This is like the shepherd saying, I know my Father. We love each other. We spend time together. I know what he's thinking. I know what he likes for breakfast. Me and my Father, we love each other. We know each other. He knows me. I know him. This is like that shepherd saying, my sheep know me like I know my Father. It's like saying the sheep know me as if we're family. My sheep have this intimate, close relationship, like a family relationship. Sheep. Picture that as sheep. I'm a little sheep here going, my shepherd welcomes me into the family like I'm a father and a son. That's ridiculous. No shepherd does that. This like really close relationship. Again, he is the good shepherd. That's amazing. He would welcome me into this relationship. He is the good shepherd. No other shepherd does that. And as we think about Jesus being the good shepherd and we are his sheep, one of the really important things to know is he knows us. He knows you. He knows me. He knows our pain. He knows our suffering. Jesus knows it. He knows our struggles. He knows our doubts. He knows. He knows our sin. He knows our guilt. He knows our joys. He knows our successes. Just think, Jesus actually knows that about you. Jesus knows what you're thinking this morning. Jesus knows how you were last night. Jesus knows how you are when you've arrived at church today. Now, some of you might be going, that's terrifying. He knows what I was thinking last night. But last night, I was a mess. But that's why it's so important that we go back to he is the good shepherd who lays down his life. He knows everything about us. He knows us fully. And he loves us completely. He knows completely all the mess that we are, and he loves us completely. It's where we go back to that passage in Romans. He died for us while we were still sinners. He knows the worst things about you, worst things about me, and he would willingly die for us. Doesn't that give us security? Doesn't that give us hope going, wow, he knows the things that are going on up here, the evil thoughts. And he would lay down his life for me. It's a wonderful thing. And just to go back to Jesus being the shepherd and we are the sheep. When he says, my sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. We kind of need to step carefully there. Jesus and the Father, they are bound together, united in love for all eternity. Closest possible relationship. So when he's saying we the sheep, we are known like that. It's not that we become part of the Trinity. We don't become God, okay? But I think what he's trying to communicate is this is the ideal relationship. This is the closest relationship we can ever imagine. Father and Son in the Trinity. I think what he's saying is he's saying we are welcomed into that sort of depth of relationship that's above and beyond anything we can imagine. Human relationships are good. I really like my wife. It's a great relationship. Most of the time. But to be welcomed into a relationship with God is beyond that. Is better than that. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying we are brought into a relationship with him that is closer, that is deeper than even the best human relationships now. He is the good shepherd. When you think he knows you that much, doesn't it make you go a little bit, wow, he knows me? When you go, oh, he knows me, and he still loves me, even more, wow. And he is the good shepherd. Relationship with him is above and beyond anything else we can ever experience. He is the good shepherd who knows us. He lays down his life, and he knows us. And then finally, he's a good shepherd who brings in more sheep. Look at verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Okay. Last time, I think I'll ask you to pretend to be a sheep. Jump back in. You're a sheep. The shepherd now starts bringing in more sheep into the sheepfold. Maybe I am a very sinful sheep, but I'm there looking and going, well, oh no. More sheep, that means less food for me. Oh no, more sheep, that means the shepherd's not going to be able to care for me quite as well. Oh no, I'm a bit worried about these more sheep that come in. And then as the shepherd brings in more sheep, you find that actually it doesn't mean that at all. His care is still just as close and intimate as it ever was before. The provision is just as much as it ever was before. It's like this shepherd has infinite supplies of food. It never runs out. No matter how much you look around, there's more and more and more sheep. And yet he still cares for them just as closely as he ever did. You know, you start going, oh, you know what? It's quite fun having more sheep. I want more brother and sister sheep around. You have these more and more sheep in the sheepfold, and his care is still just as good as ever before. And I think that's why, just a sort of slight side point, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I think there's a link there between saying when you have one shepherd who is that good and that sort of abundant in his care, that actually binds together the flock. Because the sheep aren't going, oh no, I need my food, I need my food, and you're not fighting over it because they're going, this shepherd has more than enough. I think that's true for us, actually. When we realize that Jesus is our shepherd, we go, he has everything I need. So any sort of like tussling between us, we go, well, no, hang on, I've got one shepherd, that makes us one flock, binds us together. And isn't it a lovely image? Think of the last person you know who became a Christian. It was Jesus bringing them home, the shepherd bringing a sheep home. Think of when you became a Christian, like Jesus flinging you over his shoulder, bringing you into the pen. Don't we want to celebrate more and more sheep being brought home? Don't we want to see that? And as that happens, they're sort of united because it is one shepherd and one flock. He's a good shepherd who lays down his life. He's a good shepherd who knows his sheep. He's a good shepherd who brings more sheep. And as I was thinking, praying about this this week, I was thinking, how might this apply for you here in Berry Street? And, you know, I was thinking, Doogie and Tricia, they're heading off soon. And I know from our time in Causeway that when there wasn't a pastor, it can make you feel a bit uneasy, and who's it going to be? Are we going to find anyone? Will they turn up on time? And you go, it can make you feel a bit nervous. You know, who's going to feed us? Who's going to be teaching us? Who's going to protect us if false ideas come in? Who's going to care for us? Maybe Tricia feels it the other way around. She's going, what's it going to be like there? But remember, we are cared for by the good shepherd. Jesus, who lays down his life for this church. If he's willing to do that, that means he's more than willing to give you the care, to give you the protection that we need. Because he loves us. He loves your church. He loves his church. And he knows you. Maybe as Berry Street you're going, oh, you're a bit uneasy. He knows that. He knows. And he welcomes you in to know him. You're feeling a bit uneasy. Where do you go? You run to him. Because you're welcomed into a relationship with him. And he's the shepherd who wants to bring in more sheep. And isn't that something to pray for up in Scotland? Down here? So the good shepherd might be bringing in more sheep. See, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life, knows the sheep, brings in more sheep. And he is the good shepherd. It means we don't have to look anywhere else. And I think I can say this as a pastor. Don't look to pastors. You know what? A pastor is only as good as someone who's saying, look to the good shepherd. You still got him. And any pastor you get, that you're just going to go, look to him, look to the one that lays down his life, that knows you, gives you what you need. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus' words. Father, we thank you that he is the good shepherd. Lord, help us to not become dull to the fact that Jesus would dare to lay down his life for us. That we might be shocked, amazed by the fact that he would dare to love us enough to lay down his life so we could live. Thank you that he knows us. Thank you that your son knows this morning how we are, knows our joys, knows our struggles, and we are welcomed into relationship with him. And Father, we do pray that more sheep would be added into the sheepfold. Lord, we ask that we would be those who willingly say you are, your son is the good shepherd, that we would want to come under his care. Lord, we thank you for these words. Thank you for your word. We ask that you would open our eyes to see it for us, to be changed so that we love Jesus all the more. Amen.